إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد I welcome all of you once again and we continue tonight inshallah ta'ala reading from the lecture by our beloved Shaykh Al-Allama عبد المحسن العباد البدر حفظه الله تعالى أثر العبادات في حياة المسلم The good effects that actions of worship have in the life of the Muslim هذا الجزء الثاني This is part number two The last thing the Shaykh mentioned He was mentioning the importance of sincerity, ikhlas, and the importance of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentioned the importance of sincerity, that Muslims should perform actions of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Shaykh, he gave some proofs from the Quran and from the sunnah. For instance, he mentioned the ayah 23 of Surah Al-Furqan, also the hadith that is in Sahih Al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever introduce anything to our affair, meaning to this deen of Islam that is not from it, it will be rejected. In another narration of Aisha radiallahu anha as well, but in Sahih Muslim, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an action and perform an action that is not accordance to what the Prophet ﷺ left for us, it will be rejected. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام We continue from here now هذا لك الكتاب وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام فإنه من يعش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء المهديين الراشدين تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة رواه أبو داود والترمذي من حديث العرباد بن ساري رضي الله عنه وقال الترمذي حديث حسن صحيح So the Sheikh, he continues to bring the proofs now from the Sunnah that highlight the obligation, not just the importance, but the obligations of following the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and that a Muslim does not just worship Allah based on whatever he wants to do it. Now, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity and in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is how Allah accepts the deeds, if they fulfill these two conditions. Ikhlasul amal lillah, that actions of worship has to be performed for Allah alone, that's sincerity. Wa mutaba'atu sunnati Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tajridu littiba'. And that we have to learn the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and apply it in any actions of worship. قال الشيخ حفظه الله وقد بين عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث 73 فرقة الذين يدخل منهم النار اثنتان وسبعون فرقة وفرقة واحدة تنجو بين عليه الصلاة والسلام أن هذه الفرقة الناجية هم الذين كانوا على ما كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه الكرام رضي الله تعالى عنهم وأرضاهم The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made clear in the hadith that is known to be the hadith of the 73 sects. Because in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this ummah will split onto 73 sects. That hadith, the Shaykh, he says that 72 sects will enter the fire, while one of 73 will be saved. And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that this firqa najiyah, this saved sect, they are saved because they hold on firm to that which the Rasul ﷺ and his companions are upon. That's why they are saved. They saved for this reason. They saved and they make that one saved sect. One saved sect out of 73. 72 in the hellfire, one is saved from the hellfire. Who are they? Why they saved? The Prophet ﷺ says, because they are firm upon that which he was upon, alayhi salatu wasalam, and his companions. The Shaykh continued to bring proofs, because this matter is very important. To worship Allah, but by following the sunnah. Not just by following what the people are doing. By following the sunnah of the man who was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach the religion of Islam. And Allah made it obligatory upon the jinn and the human being to follow this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, our beloved Shaykh al-Allama Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad al-Badri says, وقال الإمام مالك بن أنس رحمة الله عليه لن يصلح آخر هذه الأمة إلا بما صلح به أولها. He brought a statement of one of the a'imma of this deen, great scholars of this religion of Islam, Imam Dar al-Hijra, al-Imam Malik ibn Anas رحمة الله عليه. He says, nothing will rectify the affairs of this ummah except that which rectify its first part of it. Nothing will rectify and bring righteousness and uprightness and good to this ummah except if the people hold on to that which rectify the first of it, in the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim. وقال رحمه الله أيضا الحمد لله تابع وقال رحمه الله يعني الإمام مالك and also إمام مالك رحمه الله تعالى said من ابتدع في الإسلام بدعة يراها حسنة فقد زعم أن محمدا يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خان الرسالة والعياذ بالله. إمام مالك رحمه تعالى also said, whoever introduced an innovation into Islam, thinking it to be a good innovation, anyone who brings an innovation, newly invented matter to this deen of Islam, thinking it to be a good thing, a good innovation, that person by doing so, he's claiming that Muhammad, our beloved Messenger, has betrayed the message. Meaning he didn't deliver the entire message. As the ulama, they explain, they say, since this person now adding something to the deen, meaning the Prophet didn't convey the whole deen. You see? Not only that, walayyadu billah, the ulama, they say, not only that, but this person claiming that Allah is not speaking the truth, walayyadu billah. Because Allah says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Allah says this deen is complete, but this man says, wait a minute, there is something missing. So who to believe now? Allah or this mubtadi'a? The Sufis and the Hizbis and the mubtadi'a in general. If Allah clearly says in the Quran, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, the Shaykh is going to mention that. And that's why Imam Malik used this ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 3. As a proof, he said, so whoever introduced an innovation, into Islam, thinking that is a good thing into Islam, that person is saying that the Messenger ﷺ has betrayed the message. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. This day I have perfected and completed your religion for you. ثم قال الإمام مالك رحمه الله فما لم يكن يومئذ دينا فلا يكون اليوم دينا. And then he makes this beautiful statement. Whatever is not considered from the religion then in the time of the Prophet ﷺ and companions, he will never be considered from the religion after them. Can't. Whatever is not considered from the religion of Islam in the first generation, in the time of the Prophet and his companions, it is not considered from the religion. You can refer volume 1, page 28 of Al-I'tisam al-Imam al-Shatibi. From Maqal al-Shaykh, حفظه الله ولا يكفي أن يقول الإنسان أنا أعمل بهذا العمل وإن لم يأتي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن قصدي طيب وقصدي حسن. أخي, can you shut that door please? This is bringing Lara in mosquitoes and things. The Shaykh, he says, it is not enough, this is very important, it is not enough for a person to say, or for a person to say, I'm doing this action, I'm doing it, I'm worshipping Allah based on this action, even though it doesn't come from the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah, I'm doing this now to get closer to Allah, even though there is no dalil that the Prophet ﷺ tells us to do this, because I have good intention. I have a pure intention. I don't have no other intention. I just have a good intention. I'm doing this for Allah. But that action, it is not from the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Shaykh says it's not enough to just have a good intention. وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَى هَذَا. What is the dalil? There is a dalil, Ikhwan. Because certain people, they may have a good intention. Because that's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person doing something but is not from the sunnah. And the Shaykh is going to give some examples. But a person may have good intention, still is not enough. Why is not enough? Abdullah?
Because he's not following
the Prophet. I know. Because he's not fulfilling one of the conditions for the acceptance of the deeds. What are the two conditions of the acceptance of the deeds that the Shaykh mentioned? Said that?
Niyyah.
Huh?
Niyyah.
Ikhlas. Not just niyyah. Ikhlas and al-amal. Ikhlas, sincerity in the action has to be done for Allah, and it has to be done according to who? To the Prophet, not according to my tribe, your country, my country, your sheikh, my sheikh, my masjid, your masjid, my family, your family. No. According to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we mentioned yesterday, yes, we come from different backgrounds, different countries, we don't look the same, we may speak different dialects, right or wrong. Okay? We may eat different types of food. Right? We have different customs. It's normal. It's okay. Everybody enjoy the food of their countries. Everybody speak the dialects of their countries. But when it comes to Islam, there is only one Islam. You cannot say, listen man, you have your own religion, we have our religion. You have your way, you do it. I have my way, do it. No, there is only one way. The way that the Prophet ﷺ left for us. Now here is the dalil. There is not enough for a person. It's not enough for a person to just say, listen man, I'm doing this action. I have good intention. Doesn't matter. It is from the sunnah, not from the sunnah. You guys are just making it difficult on people. I have good intentions, akhi. I'm doing it for Allah. Is that enough for you guys? You guys making things difficult for people, man. It's not enough, I'm sincere, doing it for Allah. Now we say, that's a good thing, alhamdulillah, that you have sincerity, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing of sincerity, but that's only halfway. Okay? Halfway, you gotta do the other half. Alhamdulillah, Allah already guide you to that first half. Many people are struggling with the intentions. You're looking at one right now in front of you. May Allah purify our intentions. The intention is not something that is easy. The ulama, zuhad, jahabida. And they say, there is nothing that was difficult for them to deal with than this issue of niyyah and intentions. So don't you just say, man, I crossed that river and I'm dry now. My feet are dry. No, man. As long as you're in this life, you got to constantly review and check your intention. What are you doing it for? You're a human. As a human, we love to be out there. Don't you see it when somebody starts say something good about you? What do you usually do? You're like, mashallah, alhamdulillah, zakallah, barakallah, mashallah. Right or wrong? Many of us. It's rare when you find somebody, when people they start praising him, he leave. Or he make the dua, as Shaykh al-Albani, rahmatullah, he says, what's the dua? Allahumma, la tu'akhidni, bima yaqulun. اللهم أنا الذي أعرف اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون واجعلني أحسن مما يظنون خير مما يظنون. طيب شيخ الألباني رحمه تعالى, he said this is the dua when somebody praise you and they praising you and saying good about you, he used to say, oh Allah, forgive me that which they don't know about me. Or before that he says, oh Allah, don't hold me accountable of what they say about me now. Oh, he's this, he's nice, he's the sheikh. Oh Allah, don't hold me accountable of this thing they are ascribing to me. And forgive me that which they don't know about me. And make me better than that which they think of me. Now, here is the dalil, ya ibadallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لما بلغه أن رجلا من أصحابه الكرام ذبح أضحيته قبل صلاة العيد قال له عليه الصلاة والسلام شاتك شات لحم أي ليست أضحية. The دليل, once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was told that one of his companions, this is not some man, this is the noble companion from the best of this ummah, one of the companions, he slaughtered his sacrifice of the Eid, Eid al-Adha. You know, in Eid al-Adha, a sacrifice. But this man, he did it before the Eid prayer. Before the Eid prayer. And the sunnah is that you have to do it after the Eid prayer. The Prophet ﷺ said to that man, that goat or that sheep that you have slaughtered is only for meat now. Yes, you can still benefit from it, but it will not be considered as a udhiyya, as a sacrifice for the Eid, is only for meat. لماذا؟ قال لأنها لم تقع طبقا للسنة. Why? This man, did he slaughter a pig? Did he? Huh?
He did kill, but he didn't do the right.
I heard, yes. I said, a pig. Pig is like, what is a pig? Huh?
Khanzir.
Did he slaughter a pig? No. Naam, Uthman, as Uthman says, he did slaughter, but what is the problem, Uthman?
He didn't follow the sunnah.
Ahsant. He was not according to the sunnah. That's the mistake. He was not according to the sunnah. إِذْ إِنَّ السُنَّةَ أَنْ يَبْدَأَ ذَبْحَ الْأَضَاحِ بَعْدَ صَلَاةِ الْعِيدِ. Because the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Muslims, they slaughter after the Eid prayer, not before. Not before. After the Eid prayer. أما الذبح قبل الصلاة فإنه يكون في غير وقته فلا يعتبر. Those who slaughtered before the Eid prayer, so they did an action not in its time assigned to it in the Sunnah, so it is not considered as an udhiyah. It's not considered as a sacrifice for the Eid. والحديث أخرجه البخاري. This hadith here is in Sahih al-Bukhari number 5556. It's easy to remember. And in Sahih Muslim, 1961. Al-Hafid, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he mentioned in Fath al-Bari, on the explanation of this hadith. He says, قال الشيخ أبو محمد ابن أبي جمرة وفيه أن العمل وإن وافق نية حسنة لم يصح إلا إذا وقع على وفق الشرع. He mentioned a statement of a Shaykh Abu Muhammad ibn Abi Jamrah who says, there is a benefit in this hadith that an actions of worship, because a dhabh ibadah, slaughtering is ibadah, has to be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that an actions of worship, even if there is a good intention behind it, a good intention still is not correct if it does, if it's not performed according to the sunnah. Allahu Akbar. A person have an intention, alhamdulillah, no doubt about that. It's okay. That's not the problem. But if it's not in accordance with the sunnah, no, it's not accepted. The Shaykh is going to give another example. قَالْ وَمِمَّا يُوَضِّحُ ذَٰلِكَ أَيْضًا. And from the proofs and the that make this matter clear, that just because a person have a good intention is not enough. Because there is quite a good number of Muslims who they act upon innovations. Okay? They may have good intentions. You see them in the masjid, they cry and they do some dua. That is not from the sunnah. They act upon ibadah, not from the sunnah. They may be sincere. But the issue is, yes, sincerity is good. No doubt, alhamdulillah, but they have to do the other part too. They come together. They just have to come together, these two, sincerity, and that the action has to be in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here is another example. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions, from the scholars of the companions, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, sahib al-Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fil Kufa. He was the Amir of Kufa. Okay, he was the Amir of Kufa. Al-Kufa is a famous place in Iraq. Okay? There's a lot of scholars in there, in Kufa and Basra and Baghdad in that time. Some many companions, they moved. They went all over to spread this deen of Al-Islam. So, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was in Al-Kufa. And there is a story behind this, because actually Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, who is another companion from the scholars of the companions, he's the one actually who saw certain people doing what the Shaykh is going to mention in this hadith. And he didn't tell them anything. He came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, because he's the Amir. He's Wali al-Amr in that city. Okay? He's not the ruler, because the ruler is something, because the Khalifa was Abu Bakr and then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali. طيب. But he was just an Amir, because the Khalifa, for example, Umar radiallahu anhu, he has some of the companions that they represent him. Okay, they are deputy rulers in different areas. He was in Kufa. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu came to him and he says, look, I saw something in the masjid, meaning in Kufa, the masjid of Kufa, not the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the ulama they mentioned. I saw certain people, they doing certain things. He said, what do you say to them? I said, I ain't say nothing. I was waiting for you to see what you're going to say. SubhanAllah. And we learn a lot from this one here. He's a companion, but he respects the position of the companion. Sometimes a brother coming to talk to the imam of the masjid about an issue, he's just asking about the imam. Is the imam is here? I don't know, but can I help you with something? Can I help you? What? Then the other brother, he may not understand, he's like, oh, I got some issues with my wife. And oh yeah, go ahead, man. I can help you. And he listened to him, and he can help him with nothing. You want to help him for real? Tell him, oh, yeah, the imam is here, alhamdulillah, go. Or come back for salat. Or here is his number. And you don't want to, you know, we have to respect the knowledge. And we refer the people to those who have more knowledge than us. Okay? This is how it is. You're in an area, you have a little bit of knowledge. Now, if there is somebody who has more knowledge than you, you refer to him. Yeah, go to him, his brother, his Nahi, mashallah. If that brother who is above you in that knowledge, and especially if he has the responsibility, he's the imam or he's this, then if he says, Akhi Abdullah, Akhi Ibrahim, Akhi Hassan, Akhi Abu Abdullah, I want you to take care of this for me, then you do it, but then you refer to him. This is how the proper channels. We don't steal seats that are not for us, man. Your seat number 75, you want job on number 3, that's a business class. Now you ain't pay nothing for that. Alright? And those who do that, they get exposed, right or wrong. Man, he's way back in coach, and he looked at, because you gotta go through business class first, right? And he sees, man, oh, mashallah, he sits. But those people, they know there's only 7 people that paid for that. And then they're like, it's 8. And then they're like, wait a minute. Can I see your tickets? Oh, yeah, yeah. Or can I have a cranberry first? Yeah, let me see the ticket. Because in a business class, as soon as you get there, they give you beverage and stuff. You know, it's not like in a coach, you're going to wait until you're up there. You know, the business class, it's just like as soon as you get there, because we pass by them. Me, sometimes I'm way in the back. While I'm boarding, I pass by them. They're already eating chips and stuff. MashaAllah, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But the same thing, ya akhi. A person giving fatwa, he's hurting himself. You know? He's hurting himself. And those people too, they have to fear Allah. You can't just talk to anybody, ya akhi. Don't just talk to anybody. No, you gotta ask. Assalamu alaikum. Sometimes they call the phone, they call the masjid. Somebody else may answer the phone. Are you so and so? No. Alright. They say, can I help you? Is the imam appoint you to help in these matters? No. Okay, akhi, fear Allah. And give him, teach him a lesson. A lot of nosy people out there, man. They put their nose when they don't belong. And they cause problems and chaos for the ya'ad billah. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, sahib al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ja'a ila unasin wa qad tahallaqu fi al-masjid. Now he came, so when Abu Musa al-Ash'ari told him what happened, he went with him immediately. There is so many benefits you gain from this, ya akhwan. Immediately he went to change that evil. Even the people, they think this is a good thing. They doing something nice. So he went, what was over there? He find in the masjid, circles. People, they in circles. وَمَعَ كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهُمْ عَدَدٍ مِنَ الْحَسَىٰ. And those people in the circle, every one of them in front of him, a pile of pebbles, little rocks, these little tiny rocks. Everyone have a little pile in front of him. وَفِيهِمْ رَجُلٌ يَقُولُ سَبِّحُوا مِئَةٌ هَلِّلُوا مِئَةٌ كَبِّرُوا مِئَةٌ. And there is one man, the head of that circle, he tell them, okay, say subhanallah 100 times. They finish, he tell them, okay, say la ilaha illallah 100 times. They finish that, he tell them, okay, say Allahu Akbar 100 times. فَيَعُدُّونَ بِالْحَسَىٰ حَتَّى يَأْتُوا بِهَا الذِّكْرِ. And what they do? They take those pebbles, subhanallah, 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 move it to the other side until they finish the pile. Then they take the same pile, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. They're going to get tired. The sunnah is easy, man. Sunnah is easy, mashallah. La ilaha illallah. Alright? So now these people, somebody who don't know, are they doing something bad? Like, when we talk about they making dhikr. Is dhikr, is saying subhanallah bad? I'm asking you. This is not a tricky question. Alright? You're looking at me like, wait a minute. Saying alhamdulillah, is it bad thing? Is saying Allahu Akbar bad or good thing? Huh? Someone looking at me like, I don't know. What do you mean? You don't say alhamdulillah? You never say alhamdulillah? Okay, it's a good thing. It's very good thing. But what is the problem? We're going to know what is the problem. فَوَقَفَ عَلَىٰ يَعُدُّونَ هُو بِذَلِكَ الْحَسَىٰ. Now they saying, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. No, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. But they using, they counting the 100 by using pebbles, these little rocks. فَوَقَفَ عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودِ فَقَالَ رضي الله عنه. So he stood up at their heads while they sitting in the masjid. And he said to them, رضي الله عنه, مَا هَذَا الَّذِي أَرَاكُمْ تَصْنَعُونَ. What is this that I'm seeing you doing? You think he came on top on the shoulders? MashaAllah, إِيَّاكُمْ اللَّهِ Allahu Akbar, you're the best guys, man. Allahu Akbar. Huh? He came and said, MashaAllah, Allahu Akbar. If I'm not busy, I'll be down with you. No, 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 no. He said to them, مَا هَذَا الَّذِي أَرَاكُمْ تَصْنَعُونَ. What is this that you're doing? Huh? What is this that I'm seeing you doing? قالوا, look what they say. يا أبا عبد الرحمن, they know him. They say, oh, Abu عبد الرحمن, that's his kunya. يا أبا عبد الرحمن, حسن عد بها به التكبير والتهليل والتسبيح. They say, oh, Abu عبد الرحمن, these are pebbles. We're using them to count. Subhanallah. لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر. That's it. That's what we're doing. قال فعدوا سيئاتكم. He said to me, you want to count something? Count your evil deeds. Count your evil deeds if you want to count something for real. Count your evil deeds. فأنا ضامن أن لا يضيع من حسناتكم شيئا. He says, I guarantee you that nothing will be wasted from your good deeds. You don't have to count them. They are counted for you. And they are not going to be wasted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said to them, وَيْحَكُمْ يَا أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدْ Woe to you, O Ummah of Muhammad. Man, this, can you imagine how Ibn Mas'ud, when he was saying this thing, you think he was like, وَيْحَكُمْ and smiling? No! وَيْحَكُمْ يَا أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدْ Woe to you, O Ummah of Muhammad. مَا أَسْرَعَ هَلَكَتَكُمْ How quick you are to be destroyed. How quick you're taking the path of destruction. هؤلاء صحابة نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم متوافرون. These are the companions. This shows that they are not from the companions. He says, these are the companions of the Prophet, of your Prophet, many in numbers amongst you. وهذه ثيابه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم تبلى. He says, the clothing of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they are not old yet. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he just died. Some years. وآنيته لم تكسر. He said to them, you're doing this action that is not from the sunnah, while the Prophet ﷺ pads and utensils he used to eat, they're not even broken yet. How quick the people, they go into innovation. And then he said to them, والذي نفسي بيده إنكم لعلى ملة هي أهدى من ملة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أو مفتتحوا باب ضلالة. Then he said to them, by the one who my soul in his hand. He's swearing by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he's saying by Allah. By what you're doing now? Whether you are on a guidance and a path of guidance that is better than the one of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you are opening a door for misguidance. Now here is a question. Can they really be on a guidance better than of the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's impossible. قالوا, listen now. Because sometimes people, they hear the haq and they say, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. What these people, they say? Wallahi ya Aba Abd al-Rahman ma aradna illa al-khair. They still want to pass by. They says, oh, Abu Abd al-Rahman, by Allah, we intended only good. See, I'm talking about intentions. See? Comes back to intentions. They says, oh, Abu Abd al-Rahman, by Allah, they swear by Allah, we intend only good. We don't intend anything evil with this. What did he say to them? Did he say to them, oh, that's why you're doing it? I'm sorry, that's okay. No, he said to them, وَكَمْ مِنْ مُرِيدٍ لِلْخَيْرِ لَنْ يُصِيبَهُ How many of a person really have a good intention, but he's not achieving good? Why, once again? Not following the sunnah of the Prophet. One of the narrators, the Akhwan, one of the narrators in this chain of narration, he said on An-Nahrawan, Ma'rakat al-Nahrawan, the battle of Nahrawan. You know something about that? This is when Ali radiallahu anhu fought who? The Khawarij. When Ali radiallahu anhu fought the Khawarij. The narrator, one of the narrators in this chain, he says, Fara'aytu, I saw many people were fighting us and fighting Ali and fighting the Sahaba. Many of them are from those circles. Many of them were from those circles. Hey, subhanAllah. The ulama, they says, they take from this, the innovation may start small and continue to grow and grow, lead to killing, ya ikhwan. One innovation to another, become big. Look, these people, they were saying, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, akbar, la ilaha illallah. But since they are not following the sunnah, look, that bid'ah lead them to what? Passing takfirun Ali. They say Ali is a kafir, man. The Khawarij. Actually, one of them who killed Ali, he's like, somehow, he thinks like he did something that's all he needed to get to the Jannah. That's it. In matter of fact, one of them, he made the lines of poetry about that. Subhanallah al-Iyadu bin Nas'al Allah al-Salamat wal-Afiyah. This author is collected by Imam al-Darimi fi sunanihi. And Imam al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned it in his As-Silsila al-Sahihah. As-Silsila al-Sahihah. This is a book when Shaykh al-Albani has the sound narrations. The authentic ahadith, number 2005. قال الشيخ وأما الآثار المترتبة على العبادات. Now the Shaykh, after this was the introduction, by the way. Now we're going to get into the topic. He says, as for the effects of worship, فمنها انشراح الصدر وراحة البال وسعة الرزق وسلامة الإنسان وارتياحه واطمئنانه. He said, when a person perform actions of worship, of course, why he give this مقدمة? So that, why he give this introduction? Because these are principles. Not anybody who does an act of worship, he has to be done sincerely for Allah and following the sunnah of the Prophet. If a person does an action of worship sincerely for Allah, following the sunnah of the Prophet, those actions of worship has a beautiful fruits and effects on that person, such as, subhanAllah, he will have tranquility in his mind, serenity, peace of mind. Those people who worship Allah and obedience to Him according to what Allah has legislated, not only that they are peaceful, they have stability in their lives, serenity, tranquility. Not only that, sa'atul rizq, Allah increased them in their livelihoods. Talking about begging some kafir. No, you do what is right, Allah increase your livelihood. And safety and protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such person. And he will have a life of joy, life of happiness in this life. Now the Shaykh is going to begin to bring ayats and ahadith. When in those ayats Allah mentioned the ibadah and the reward for it. If you do this, you get this. Allahu Akbar. قال وقد جاء في القرآن آيات كثيرة وفي السنة النبوية أحاديث عديدة تدل على تلك الآثار. He says, there are many ayats in the Quran and many ahadith in the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. They are a proof to this good effects and good fruits. وعلى أن تقوى الله عز وجل والأعمال الصالحة يترتب عليها سعادة الدنيا وسعادة الآخرة. And that Taqwa Allah is to act upon the commands of Allah, to stay away from the prohibitions as legislated to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa Allah, righteous actions. Subhanallah. If somebody fears Allah and do righteous actions, sincerely for Allah according to Sunnah, happiness in this life, joy in this life and in the hereafter is guaranteed for such person by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now here is the Shaykh, he began to give those proofs. Number one, from the Quran. From the Quran. قال الله عز وجل في سورة الأعراف. Verse number 96. ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض. الله أكبر. Now pay attention to these ayats because they mention what if the people would do this, they will get this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the people of the towns had believed and had the taqwa, piety, this is what they have to do. This is the ibadah. Certainly we should have opened for them blessings from the heaven and the earth. قال الشيخ هذه الآية الكريمة اشتملت على ذكر العبادة وعلى ذكر الأثر المترتب عليها في حياة المسلم. He said this noble verse 96 in Surah Al-A'raf contains the ibadah. Allah mentioned the worship. And also Allah mentioned in the same ayah the reward for that worship. What is the effects of that worship in the life of the Muslim? وهي أن من اتقى الله عز وجل وآمن به. Here is the ibadah. There is the act of worship. If a person fears Allah and believes in Him, فإن الله تعالى يثيبه ويعطيه في الحياة الدنيا من الرزق ويفتح عليه من بركات السماء والأرض. He says, what is the reward? What is the effect of this ibadah? Allah will reward such a person in this life. Now in the rizq, remember the Shaykh, he says from those good fruits that abundance in provisions. Allah will give them the provision this dunya and will open and send blessings upon those people from the heavens and the earth. وَذَلِكَ بِإِنْزَالِ الْمَطَرِ. What is this blessings from the heavens? Sending of rain. Can't live without water, man. وَإِخْرَاجِ النَّبَاتِ وَالْكُنُوزِ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. What is the blessings from the earth? Vegetation, plantations, fruits, and what else? And the treasures. The treasure of the earth. What do we get from the earth? Yes, trees, we get clothing, we get everything. And plus, petroleum, oil, gold, silver, minerals. Huh? All of these things. وقال عز وجل في أهل الكتاب. Now the Shaykh, now he mentioned the ayah 66 in Surah Al-Ma'idah. The ayah 66 in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And this is pertaining to the people of the book. Pertaining to the people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ أَقَامُوا التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَأَكَلُوا مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِمْ. And if they only had acted according to the Torah, and the Injil, the Gospel, and what has now been sent down to them from their Lord, meaning the Quran, they would surely have gotten provision from above them and from underneath their feet. Allahu Akbar. قال فإن هذه الآية الكريمة هي مثل الآية التي سبقتها. He says this ayah here, number 66 in Surah Al-Ma'idah, it's similar to the ayah that we just mentioned. What ayah? A'raf 96. Na'am. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال لأكلوا من فوقهم ومن تحت أرجلهم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, surely they would surely have gotten provision from above them and from underneath their feet. Their feet. What does it mean? The Shaykh says, يعني من الأرزاق التي ينزلها الله عز وجل إليه من السماء بسبب المطر. No, those provisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them because of sending rain from the heavens. That's what he means. وَكَذَلِكَ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِمْ And provisions under their feet. What does it mean? مِمَّا يُنْبِتُهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنَ النَّبَاتِ وَالزُّرُوعِ That which come out from the earth. Because they walk on the earth. But things come from the earth. Plantations, fruit, vegetation and the like, food for them. وَكَذَلِكَ مِمَّا يُخْرِجُهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ كُنُوزِ Likewise, the treasures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit the people by them allowing them to extract these things from the earth. Me and you, we may be walking on a pile of gold, we just don't know. Railroad. We don't know, man. We don't know until somebody may come after us and they get it. Look at this oil that's been in Saudi Arabia for how many years? Huh? People walking on it. But then, mashallah, he came one time, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. قال وما ذكره الله في هاتين الآيتين عن أهل القرى وأهل الكتاب هو من الثواب الدنيوي على الإيمان والتقوى. Look, now pay attention to this. He says, this reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in these two ayats, the ayah in Surah Al-A'raf and the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, to the people of the towns in Surah Al-A'raf and the people of the book in Surah Al-Ma'idah, it is from the reward in this dunya. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward those who have iman in Allah and have taqwa. This is the reward in this life. وَأَمَّا الثَّوَابُ الْأُخْرَوِي Now in this life, those who do righteous deeds and believe in Allah, that's their reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send provision for them from above them and under their feet. And the Shaykh mentioned what that means. That's in this dunya. Now what is the reward of the akhirah? For the believers, al-muttaqin, the righteous people, ذكره الله تعالى في سورة المائدة. Allah mentioned that in the ayah 65, right before this one. In the ayah 65 in Surah المائدة, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَكَفَّرْنَا عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And if only the people of the scripture, the Jews and the Christians, had believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and warded off evil, sin, ascribing partners to Allah, and had become al-muttaqun, pious, we would indeed have expiated from them their sins and admitted them to gardens of pleasure in paradise. That's the reward in the hereafter. So the believer, the righteous one, the good doer, he's rewarded by Allah in this life and in the hereafter. These are the effects of good deeds, of worship that is done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, ayah 65 in Surah Al-Ma'idah. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَكَفَّرْنَا عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ And if only the people of the scripture, the Jews and the Christians, had believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and warded off evil, meaning sins, they are ascribing partners to Allah, and had become al-muttaqun by acting upon the commands of Allah, staying away from the prohibitions as legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not but what they follow their desires. What is the reward to this? What is the effects of this action of worship? We would indeed have expiated from them their sins and admitted them to gardens of pleasure in paradise. The Shaykh says also, قال الله عز وجل In Saif al-Din. Saif al-Din here. Tfaddal, tfaddal. Tayyib, inshallah, we'll read the ayah after the adhan, inshallah, ta'ala. Now, then the Shaykh Hafidhahu Ta'ala, he mentioned, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr Hafidhahullah, he mentioned another example, another ayah actually from the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadeela. Listen to these ayahs. This is the ayah number 70. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him, and speak always the truth. This is what we're supposed to do. And if you do this, something gonna happen. It's like when you go to work, akhi. They tell you, okay, you hire somebody to paint the kitchen. How much? $200. Easy money, alhamdulillah. For those who know what they're doing. Alright, what this man has to do to get the $200? I'm asking you a question. To paint what? The bedroom. Huh? The kitchen. This man, he went and painted the garage. Did he paint or not? I'm asking you. Did he paint or not? He painted. Is he getting paid?
No.
Come on. See, this is what I'm talking about. What is the problem now? He went to the wrong place. He's not following what? Instructions. Another example. This person, he did paint the kitchen. But he's still not going to get paid. Why?
A wrong color.
The people, they want it white. He get it like purple. And they said, why purple? Ah, that's my favorite color. That's not your kitchen. It's not your kitchen, man. That's why we want you to this color. You do what you get paid. Right or wrong? What is another way that a person cannot get paid to? If he doesn't do it. He didn't show up. That's a good thing. Okay, this man showed up. And painted the right spot, the right color, the right time, did a good job, still didn't get paid. Why?
He wasn't the person you asked for.
No.
He didn't complete it?
I just said he completed. Look, he completed the job in the right time, did the right job, everything, still didn't get paid. Why? No.
He's not on the payroll.
Huh?
He's not on the payroll.
Payroll. Now these people didn't get paid, period. Why? Don't complicate it. Make it easy, Juan. Tariq. Nah.
Wrong boss.
The man who hired him don't want to pay him. I don't want to pay you, man. See? But now if you do things the right way. See, when you do this with the human being, that's a possibility. Yes, you may come in the right and put your heart and do the best job. You may even put some extra in there and fix some cabinets and this, they were loose. Still, that person may not pay you. But now when you deal with Allah, are you really facing this? Can you really?
You're up in front of Tabura,
Shaykh. Huh? See, sometimes people, man, we ask simple questions, but people, they be going, let me ask you one simple question. And say, and now we're going to see how many answers we're going to get, okay? We have to keep it simple. That helps us a lot. You've seen geese, right? The ducks, when they fly. You've seen them, right? Usually they fly in what? In V, in right this, right? Did you notice that sometimes one side is always longer than the other? You notice that, right? Why? Oh, you know. You know. Why? Why? These are geese, Yahwan. They do that all the time, every year, because when it's very hot in the south, they go north, because it's nice. When it gets very cold or about to get cold in the north, what do? They come back to south. They always making this hijrah, back and forth. They're good at it. And they always go in this order. They always travel like this in V, and one side is always longer than the other. Why? The guide. I know. See, I'm talking about easy answer. Now.
I know the answer.
Oh, you know the answer? Wait. Why, Akhwan? Why there is...
That's the sunnah, the numbers.
Wait a minute. That's the sunnah. They follow the sunnah too. Mashallah. Give me a hadith, ya akhi. Or their sunnah. You said their sunnah. Ah, their sunnah, meaning their way. That's their way. But can you explain it? That's what the question.
Male and female.
Male and female. No mixing. Ducks don't mix. You gotta prove that one. The brother says males. So where? The males in one side and the females in the other side? How would you tell from up there? I don't know, brother. I can give you that one. All right, from here. Why there is always one side longer than the other? Easy, easy answers. Now, Sultan.
There's more on one line than the other.
Ahsant. That's the answer. One is longer than the other because there is more in one side than the other. One side there is 20, the other side have 10. Which one is longer? It has nothing to do, man, with like the leader tell them to go there. You have to explain that one now. Allahu Akbar. Nah, man. Hey, I don't know, man. As long as it's not 7-Eleven. Tayyib. Now, so I just want to mention that, you know, because sometimes, you be simple, ya akhi. Sometimes when you ask a question, and we just want to come up with some amazing answer. And that's where we go wrong. Very wrong. If somebody said, where is your ear? Where is your ear? See, show me your ear. Somebody's going, this one. What about this one? He didn't say your left or right. Show me your ear. This one. It's easy. Keep it easy. All right? How many fingers do I have?
Ten.
Two. Two, right?
Yeah.
I got 10.
So you show me two?
Did they say how many I show you? I asked you how many fingers do I have? How many fingers do I have?
You say two, but I said
we're still talking about keep it simple. Once again. But you got to pay attention to the question. How many fingers do I have?
Ten.
Ahsan, that's the question. Even I will show you two, but it doesn't matter. Inshallah. This is very important, Akhwan. All right? Sheikh Ibn al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to bring examples like this. SubhanAllah, to make sure that, to let the people know that certain things are easy. If we keep it in that, we be going thinking about something extraordinary. I'm going to come up with something that nobody has. No, that's where you're going to go too far. No. Here in this ayah, we go back to the ayah, Ikhwan. Look, in the ayah 70, Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him and speak always the truth. That's the ibadah. That's what we're supposed to do. هذه عبادة قال الشيخ. This is the worship. Keep your duty to Allah fear him, and always speak the truth. This is the act of worship. ثم ذكر الأثر المترتب على ذلك. Now here is the effects and the fruits if you do this. What is it? The ayah. يصلح لكم أعمالكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. الله أكبر. ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Here is the reward now. If you do this, Allah says, He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive you your sins. الله أكبر. See the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has indeed achieved a great achievement. I.e. he will be saved from the hellfire and will be admitted to paradise. May Allah make us from the Mameen. قال الشيخ فإن إصلاح الأعمال ومغفرة الذنوب في الآخرة من الآثار من الآثار المترتبة على العبادة. He says, for the actions to be righteous, don't you think just because of you that's why you're doing that action? That's tawfiq is from Allah. We shouldn't go no wrong because of me. No. People, they may know more than us, ikhwan. They know, they have PhDs in fiqh, hadith. And they may not doing right. So the Shaykh says, for the actions to be righteous and the forgiveness of the sins in the akhirah, look, this is fruit in the dunya. What is the fruit in the dunya? The actions are righteous. You're doing right. And how do you feel when you do right things? Always. What is the feeling? Happy, man. You do things the right way. If you do things the wrong way, you got to face that problem. And what is the reward in the hereafter? It's a great reward by forgiveness of the sins. من الآثار المترتبة على العبادة. This is from the effects and the results and the good fruits of عبادة. فقد اشتملت هذه الآية الكريمة على ذكر آثار تترتب على العبادة في الدنيا وفي الآخرة. He said this ayah comprises, this noble ayah comprises effects of worship in this life and in the hereafter. ففي الدنيا صلاح الأعمال والتوفيق والسداد. The fruits in this dunya, Allah will make your actions righteous. Allah give you success, make you successful, and Allah make you always do the right things. Go to the right place, the right time, not late, not people looking at you, why you did do it this way? They always say, excellent, good job, and you feel good in this life. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ الْإِنسَانُ يَسِيرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. Likewise, from the fruits of good actions, and ibadah, that a person will continue on the path that lead to Allah upon basira, upon certainty. He ain't just following somebody. If they make a right, he make a right. No, he knows where he's going. Doesn't matter if the people all make a left, he going straight. Because he knows where he going. He knows the path. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ مَغْفِرَةُ الذُّنُوبِ وَتَكْفِيرُ السَّيِّئَاتِ. What is the reward in the akhirah? For those who are righteous and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and act upon what Allah has legislated, Allah forgive them their sins and overlook their mistakes. Allahumma ij'alna minhum. Allah make us from them. Ameen. And also the Shaykh Hidin, he mentioned some of other ayahs. We're going to leave that for tomorrow inshallah ta'ala. Sunday, tomorrow inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue bringing, because he's going to mention some very, very nice ayahs. Now they have some very nice reward. Like the ayat in Surah Al-Talaq, ya akhwan. Surah Al-Talaq. I want you now to review these ayats. When you go home tonight, you have tomorrow until Maghrib tomorrow, review the ayat 2 and 3 of Surah Al-Talaq.
Which ayat was that?
2 and 3 of Surah Al-Talaq. Surah Al-Talaq, I don't know the numbers. 65? I'm going to just verify it, okay? أحسنت وهو كذلك جزاك الله خير. 65. The ayah 2 and 3, and the ayah number 4, and the ayah number 5. And also the ayah 29 of Surah Al-Anfal. Review this ayat, the ayah 29 of Surah Al-Anfal. Okay? Hey, Sheikh? No, no, not recite. This is homework. هذا تمرين منزلي. غدا غدا we recite. إن شاء الله لأن الوقت ما نريد نتأخر جزاك الله خير. If you want me to recite, I recite. You're elder than me here. What do you want, Sheikh? غدا إن شاء الله. الله يبارك فيك. جزاك الله خير. طيب. So I want you to do this. You review these ayahs. If you have tafsir ibn Kathir, tafsir ibn Sa'di, read the tafsir. So tomorrow when the Shaykh is talking, it's easy, alhamdulillah, because you already know what the Shaykh may be talking about. طيب. نعم. سورة الأنفال آية 29. طيب. And also سورة نوح. سورة نوح from 10 to 12. And سورة هود 52. The Shaykh is increasing. He wants good for you because he says that's good for the heart. Right or wrong, Shaykh? There you go. Surah Hud 52. Nuh 10, 11, 12. Hud, that's chapter 11, 52, ayah 52. And Hud number 3, ayah 3. And Surah An-Nahl 97. And that's enough for now. And then the Shaykh after that, he's going to bring the ahadith. Okay? جزاكم الله خير بارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.